Welcome to Chirosphere, where we talk about all things chiropractic and, well, some things not so chiropractic, especially with Dr. J around. I'm Dr. Ray Foxworth, your host for Chirosphere and CEO of ChiroHealth USA, the network that works for chiropractic. My guest today is Dr. Jay Greenstein, one of the hardest working men I know in chiropractic. I call him a friend, a confidant, an innovator, and the grower of great hair. Dr. J is a trailblazer in musculoskeletal health and the CEO of Kaizenovate. His pioneering work has led to the development of Canvas, a groundbreaking mobile app revolutionizing chiropractic practices worldwide. As a founder of Kaizo Health Companies and chairman of various influential organizations, Dr. Greenstein is at the forefront of merging technology with evidence-based practice to enhance patient outcomes and shape the future of chiropractic care. Today, we're going to explore his journey, his insights, and his cutting-edge advancements transforming the landscape of musculoskeletal health. So, Jay, we go back a ways. And yes, one thing I've observed about you is not only are you one of the hardest guys working in chiropractic, but you always seem to show up in a big way and don't seem to have any quit in you. Many may know what you do, as I do, but since we're both fans of Simon Sinek, I'd like people to know what your why is behind what you do, because there's a driving force.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. You know, I thought about this a lot, especially over the last 30 years of being in chiropractic, and the answer is justice. Like, I honestly am motivated by justice. You know, I learned about chiropractic from my mom, who was completely mismanaged by, you know, the medical system. I saw what she went through. Luckily, I met her chiropractor, changed my life, and, you know, went to chiropractic school and then started taking care of patients, and it became so evident that what we do is so real, really important to, you know, the human race, to our planet. And just to see the injustices that have taken place against our profession is just not acceptable to me. And so I work and I live and I breathe, and my heart and soul is tied to making sure that chiropractic has its rightful place so that everyone on the planet can actually experience chiropractic and access the benefits that we have to offer. So justice is what motivates me.
Yeah, you know, and there's certainly justice on behalf of the profession, but the people that really suffer are the people that suffer the injustice of, you know, phantom benefits. They think they have coverage and they don't. Or the barriers that are put up by gatekeepers that, quite frankly, sometimes don't know their shit from chinola when it comes to musculoskeletal care, but they're the ones that are guiding and directing the care. And again, I'm not bashing the medical community. You know, I've been involved with multidisciplinary practice for a long, long time. But the reality is it just, you know, doesn't make sense to have those people or some people in place that really don't know how to direct care. And then, of course, you know, the injustice of higher co-pays and deductibles for chiropractors than others. So we're a kindred spirit in that vein, and maybe we become some superheroes, and our superpower will be to bring justice to us, for us and our patients. So you founded Kaizenovate, Canvas, and most recently Embody. Nice product placement there, Jay.
Thank you. That was intentional.
Yeah. So how about unpack each one of those for us and kind of tell us what they are and how they're helping practices or changing things for patients?
Sure. So in 2018, we decided that for our chiropractic practices, I did not have any tech company at that point, just the chiropractic practices. We had a long-term location practice here in the Washington, D.C. region, what we call the DMV. And we were rebranding. Our name was Sports Fan Rehab. And if you've kind of listened to the Seth Godins of the world or the Michael Porters of the world, they talk about the importance of differentiation as it relates to growing a brand. So our company was Sports Fan Rehab. And when we created that name, we were kind of on the cusp, you know, the early stages of including active rehab in chiropractic practice. And so the name made sense for us, but over 25 years, it became evident that so many other practices had included sport or spine or rehab, their names, other chiropractices, PT, pain management, ortho, you name it. And there was a lot of brand confusion in our region. We got a lot of healthcare providers in the DMV. And so I was like, okay, enough. Like, I'm done with this. We're going to create a name that is completely different that is recognizable and has meaning behind it. So we worked with a few different folks, great folks, and we ended up changing our practice name to Kaizo Health. Kaizo is the Japanese word for rebuild or reconstruct. Yeah. And our tagline was rethink, rebuild, restart. So we want people to rethink healthcare in the spirit of Ray, what you were just talking about. We want to rebuild people's bodies so they can restart their lives. And that's kind of our DNA. Like that's who we are. And so during that process of going through the rebrand, I said to my team, I was like, guys, we'd be assholes if we didn't rethink our own practice. Like, what can we do better? Like, it used to be about a logo and some pretty colors, which by the way, I love our logo. So it's not this, I got, you know, it's a different set of companies, but I was like, what else can we do better? And so we started looking at our data, and you know that we're a very data-driven set of companies. And so we looked at an area where we thought we could have the biggest impact, and that was on self-discharges, patients not completing their care plans. And because we use Genesis Therapeutics software, they've got great reporting. What we did is we looked at the reasons why people self-discharge, and the number one reason why people self-discharge, Ray, is what? Why do people self-discharge?
They get feeling better, or the insurance runs out and the patient runs out.
Number one reason is feeling better. Yep. We saw our practice, right? It's like, okay, then how do we change the game here? So we came up with an idea that we would gamify the experience. We would create a rewards program for chiropractors and a chiropractic practice and see if a rewards program would help drive better adherence. Now, for the folks that are listening to this, you may not know this, but we also have a clinical research institute as well. So we've got the chiropractic practices, we have a clinical research institute, it's a 501c3, we have our own IRB, we just finished a multi-year AH study. We're very adept at running clinical trials in our practices. And so what we did is we launched an app in our practice, the Habit Wars program, and we had this idea and this hypothesis that rewards would increase adherence. We didn't know. And when we ran the data, what we found is that in the total cohort of patients, we were actually able to increase care plan adherence by 36%. And I sent this information to my friend Brian Pullman. He's a DC PhD at Yale. I was like, Brian, check out this data. And he's like, dude, it's okay, but the fact of the matter is, I know, Ray. I was like, I didn't even say, look, I was like, help you go up. It's like, what?
What?
Man, it's not 36% is not good. And he's like, dude. He's like, people who are downloading the app probably already are more engaged in their healthcare anyway. So, like, you don't know really what the effect is of the app. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you have self-discharge cohorts and you have doctor-discharge cohorts, which we had, and you run the data of app users versus non-app users, and there's better adherence in app users in the self-discharge population, then you've got something. So we sent all our data back to our statistician, Bob Taub at the University of Kentucky. And what we found is in the total cohort of doctor discharge patients, the app users came in 10.5% more. Like, by the way, this is over 4,000 patients, right? And so because it was only 10.5% in a population size of 4,000 patients, it was not statistically significant. Now, there's a business use case around 10.5% more visits, but it didn't matter because they doctor discharged and asked them on anyway. We just want patients to complete their care plan and get good long-term outcomes. In the self-discharge cohort, the self-dischargers who used the app came in 70% more.
Wow.
So it was a significant impact on the app and the rewards program with patients that were already less inclined to complete their care plan. They didn't complete, but they were more adherent overall to the prescribed care plan. During this entire time ring, because the first product that we built, Canvas, was not in compliant and couldn't afford to do this, because I've been bootstrapping this tech company from the very beginning, we knew that we had to build something where we're looking at healthcare outcomes. We know there's data that says increased adherence improves outcomes, but we've been proving it with the technology that we first built with Canvas. So we embarked on this journey over 3 years, and we built what we just launched, which is Embody, which is a fully secure, HIPAA-compliant platform that identifies a multitude of healthcare outcomes for our patients based on the behaviors that they're exhibiting. So now providers have insights to their patients when they're not in the office. This is called remote therapeutic monitoring. And they can look at the patient's improvements, or if they're not improving, after each clinic visit, as well as after each one of their home exercise program sessions. So I could get into the details of the product more, but we don't have to do that. But the idea that we can leverage digital health as a digital health partner for patients that is essentially your accountability partner for a chiropractic patient to help them do what they're supposed to do outside the clinic, and the doctor now has insight to their overall outcomes, which we've never had before. Recently, as all of us, we had no idea how they were doing until they came back. That's completely changed. And so this has never been built before. And we're still in an MVP, build a viable product, and we're still launching to our early adopter populations. Thank God there are people, they see the product, are willing to pay for it, which then helps us continue to build and iterate and improve. But it's just unbelievable the amount of data that we have and what we're seeing around behaviors and outcomes.
I'm curious, in your practice, let's say out of 100 patients that you have, what type of engagement are you seeing from their side? Because I would think there would be some that are, you know, all for it, younger generations in particular, people my age and older, maybe not so much. So what is the patient acceptance or utilization of it, strictly from the patient side?
It is a great question, and it is the absolute bell curve. We have complete non-users on one side of the bell curve. People who are not adopting, they're not downloading another app, they're not interested in technology, they just don't want to do it. We've got the what we call the moderate users. They're like the one standard deviation from mean, like that 67% of the population. And sometimes they're doing home exercises, sometimes they're not. They're using the scheduling function, they're using the recording function on their outcomes. That's probably the most interesting thing. I'll just quickly share that about 85% of our patients are now reporting how they're doing after their clinic visit once they've left the clinic. Mm. So like that's been like one of the most interesting things. There's a lot of engagement in the patients telling us how they're doing once they had their clinic visit. On the home exercise piece, we're about double the industry average. So overall, in PT and chiro, the home exercise program adherence is about 12%. Based on industry data. And we're at about 25 to 28%, sometimes 30, depending on the week. So we're doing better than the industry average, and that's still not good enough for us. We want to do better. And then at the other extreme of the bell curve is the power users. They're doing their exercises every day. They're getting on out of feeling. They're providing feedback. So it's that standard bell curve that we would expect from humans.
Got it. So if we're thinking about all the possibilities of what this data is going to help us do, I can see having that data, people that are, for example, injured on the job, everybody's interested in outcomes, getting them back to work fast and, you know, not having a recurrence of it. So clearly gathering this type of data at some point is actually a way to be able to go to employers with injured workers and explain to them the importance of not only getting chiropractic care, but being engaged with it so they truly see the full benefit rather than, oh, I'm out of pain. Hell, if you just want to get out of pain, go take an ibuprofen or I mean, it doesn't accomplish anything. So, and let's face it, you know, 20 years ago, people that were anti-chiropractic were just anti-chiropractic. Well, the market moves behavior. And, you know, we're at a point now where employers are, I don't give a damn what you do. If you wear, a tiki skirt and have voodoo stuff going on, just get my people better and at a reasonable cost. And we can't, while we want them to understand the chiropractic story, they're understanding dollars and cents, and you got to have data to be able to show them, here's the why behind why you ought to do chiropractic. Forget your biases and let's save you some money, get your people better. So it's great to see that it's not only helping patients, but I I'm an entrepreneur.
That's right.
How do we use that to really increase the utilization of chiropractic nationwide? You know, not just in a individual practice,
even worldwide. And I think what you're talking about is the value equation, right? Like how are we contributing more value in the service? Because the employers are not paying the bills now. And so they want any way they can save dollars and improve outcomes and have a healthy workforce, they're going to do. And by the way, we have a question for you. The tiki skirt and the voodoo dolls, was that like a regular invention that you guys did in your clinic? Sometimes with special patients? Like, how often did that occur? Because I would love to see that intervention.
Wouldn't you really? Yeah. I've got the whole mask and the bamboo. Yeah, you bet. Yeah.
I love it.
That'll be another episode. Thank God this is a podcast and people don't actually have to see that.
Oh, no, I think they want to see it, right?
Yeah.
Come see it.
All right, folks, we're going to take about a 30-second break here and to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment with the one and only Dr. J. Welcome back, everybody. We're here today with Dr. J. Greenstein, my dear friend, and as I said earlier, the grower of great hair. So, Jay, you know, we are a hands-on profession. And, you know, when it comes to technology, as you well know, there are five kind of adopters. There's, for any new technology, there's innovators, early adopters, early majority, late majority, and laggards. And I already know the answer to this. Where would you consider the majority of our profession?
Absolute laggard in technology. There's no question about it. You can see what's happening, and I know that you study this, and because you're always sending me great articles and information. We are so far behind from the medical industry is doing, from what physical therapy is doing. It's fascinating. You know, I went to HIMSS, which is the largest health tech conference in the world. And we think we've got some new conferences like SCA National and Parker, and they're great. And we love those conferences. We have other great state associations like Michigan and Virginia and others. But at the end of the day, like, we're talking about three football fields worth of health tech vendors that are in this space. 20,000 attendees that are in the health tech space, mainly in the medical community. And so when we think about where we are in terms of technology adoption, we are far behind. However, we may be behind, but we are tenacious and we are mighty. And all it takes is a little bit of education and a little bit of adoption, and we start to build momentum. And I think we've seen that. Like, we've seen more and more practices adopt technology over the last several years. And I think that rate will increase exponentially as technology companies learn to deliver the maximal amount of value to these practices. It will become like a no-brainer decision for them.
So for those practices that have embraced the technology, and again, like I said, we're a hands-on profession and we're saying it's important. But I remember a conversation you and I had when we shortly after we first met. We were talking about some kind of project, and you said, "Well, what's the WIFM? You know, what's in it for me? Not being selfish, but why should I want to do this?"
Yeah.
So really, what is the WIFM for a chiropractor who's thinking, "Well, I'm hands on, low technology. What's really in it for them? How can it impact their practice and their revenue?" I mean, let's face it. I'm a fan of profit. Without profit, you know, with no money, there is no mission.
That's right.
And so let's kind of bring it down to, do this because you're going to get better patient outcomes. But, you know, if a doctor's going to spend money, embrace technology and put it into their practice, what have those practices that have done this really seen as their WIFM or as their outcome?
You know, you mentioned profitability. That's like one of the main elements that technology can help increase. You know, I'll just give you an example for our practices. Like, we don't have front desk CAs anymore. Like, we've leveraged technology to create an experience for our patients where we don't need somebody sitting at the front desk. We have ways to engage them digitally. We have ways to create remarkable experiences with only value producing people in our clinics because we do leverage technology. That's one example. But I will say, in total, for instance, practices that are using AI are saving so much time when it comes to things like content creation, marketing, the way that they're actually leveraging their team so that their team can produce more because they're so much more efficient using some of these tools. When it comes to scheduling appointments and text reminders, like, we don't need people calling patients anymore to remind them and confirm them of their visits. Like, we have technology to do these things that literally remove labor costs from our profit and loss savings, which increases our profitability. By the way, Ray, like, and I mentioned HIMSS earlier, according to their studies, 93% of patients are now expecting some sort of digital experience with their healthcare providers, and 90% of patients will actually switch providers if they don't get a good digital experience. So the carrot is, you're going to increase your profitability, your efficiency, your employee engagement will improve because now they're using tools that actually excite them and makes them excited to come to work, where they feel like they're contributing even more than they were previously. But the stick is, like, oh my God, if you don't keep up with technology, like, you could go like the way of the dinosaurs. Like, you may not be able to keep your practice because it costs too much money these days to just count on labor alone.
No doubt about it. You know, it's funny. I observe things when I go places. And while I was out of town last week, I ended up having to go to a dock in the box. And what amuses me is to see how one entity can be adopting technology, but yet is still operating like a dinosaur. So, for example, you go into chiropractor's office, you go into a doctor's office, and you've got this all these forms to fill out, and on that form, it's got, you know, who is your insurance company, your subscriber number, your group number, and then what does the lady at the front desk do? I need a copy of your insurance card front and back. But guess what? Get that off the damn form. I don't need to fill that out three times. You know, it's just the redundancy. And to me, that's an example of someone, yeah, they adopted the technology of the scanner for the insurance card, but damn it, man, update your paperwork. Don't make paperwork. People fill that out two and three times. It's nuts.
What the F is paperwork? People should be paperless. There's patient portals now where patients can put their information right into the EHR. By the way, that saves so much time for the provider because now they can review all that information. They don't have to type it into the history. They can make any adjustments that they need to. But like, we save so much time. Our doctors save so much time because all the patient information, their history, their past medical history, their social history, all that's in the system by the time they're having a face-to-face conversation with them. They're looking at paperwork and flipping through the paper like, oh my God, no.
You know,
these are over.
Yes, something that we did years ago in our practice, you know, I'm a fan of the highest and best use of your time. And in trying to streamline things in our office, you know, at one point I had a CA who would sit down with the patient and kind of gather their history and everything. And that way I could walk into the room and already know what they don't have to download it to her and then download it to me. It's like, have someone do that. Well, now the technology is such that the patient can do that and you can walk in and you talk about a time saver. And let's face it, time is money, especially in a practice. And, you know, just little things like that can make a huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
So you mentioned AI. I'm going to do a shameless plug here, as you well know.
Yes.
Cairo Health kind of planted its flag, and we rolled out Cairo AI.
I love it.
And I encourage people to go to our website and check that out, because literally, like Jay said, you want to send out a newsletter, you want to send out an email, you want to send out. I mean, there is nothing more intimidating than a blank piece of paper. You know, if you're trying to write a newsletter or communicate with people, guess what? You don't have to do that. You just go ask Cairo AI, hey, generate me a 4 email sequence for the importance of chiropractic during pregnancy. And guess what? It's done. It can create you a presentation. Just the time savings that we've experienced just in building this and seeing what all it can do. Holy cow. We will never go back to not using it again. Not perfect, and never, you know, never will be, but man, what a time saver to get you to a point where you can just tweak it and make it, you know, make it yours and reflective of your practice. So y'all go check out Cairo AI.
It's great. Like, I love that you've done that, Ray. And I've used it. And I want to second that. Like, if the audience out there, go check it out. Use this tool. Make it work for you, because once you start using it, you'll realize how much time it will save you, and you'll probably end up using it every day. Like I did, but I literally use AI every single day. My team uses AI every single day. So go check it out. Cairo AI, it's a game changer.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jay.
Yeah, so, thank you for building it.
Well, you know, Johan, our resident Venezuelan and all around nice guy. And he sunk his teeth into this several months back and asked, could we go down that path? And we absolutely have. And like I said, it has been a game changer for us internally, just for our company, but it can do the same for individual practices.
Yeah.
Jay, I know you're involved as I am in Chiropractic Future Task Force. And as chairman, you're chairman of the ChiroTech Consortium, which is almost like a oxymoron. Chiro and tech means hand and technology. What is the consortium, and how are they contributing, or how do you see it impacting our profession in the future?
So yeah, I love that question. I just remember my quickly say to provide a new contrast. The chiropractic profession now has a strategic plan if you're not familiar, and you can go to chiropracticfuture.org, and you can see everything there is about how this plan was thought out, was created, all the strategic goals that we created, the work groups, and as you said, Ray, I'm chair of the chiropractic consortium, and Rad Cost, the CEO of Infinity, is my co-chair. There are multiple work groups. There's research, there's government affairs, there's communication. Our goal, our mission for the ChiroTech Consortium is to support the rest of the work groups and the entire profession through the use of technology. So what we've done so far is we have built reimbursement dashboards for every single state association. Brad Cost has leveraged all the data that he has on reimbursement through tens of thousands of chiropractors across the country.
And just so people know, Brad has a company called Infinity, and they're a clearinghouse, and that's how he extracts the data for our benefit.
Yeah, that's great. And so what he's done is he's taken all that data, he's made sense of it through dashboards. Like, we're driving down the lane, we have to ask for a recording, we see the hospital bone, we see the engine temperature, we see our RPMs, like, we see the status of the car. It's the same thing for our profession, that specifically as it relates to reimbursement. And so Brad built these a couple of years ago. He's literally donated to every single state chiropractic association in the country. He's built it on his dime. And now the student associations have insight as to reimbursement trends, and especially the payers are not paying appropriately. And I know, Ray, you know the story, but our very good friend, Dr. Rachel Lant, who is actually now the chairperson of Chiropractic Future, she was having an issue with a payer in Kentucky. She saw this on the dashboard. She went to the Department of Insurance, and with that data, the Department of Insurance said, the insurance company, told the insurance company they need to pay the chiropractors back over $1 million in aggregate.
Wow.
So the idea that we can become information-enabled is why we build technology. We don't build technology or use technology for technology's sake. We do it specifically for the profession so that we can be information enabled. So one thing to have large data sets, it's another thing to make sense of it. So we've rolled out the second version of these dashboards that actually is like a blue, yellow, red kind of visual, where we can see like blue, there's been some weird reimbursement trends. Yellow is it's happening for 30 days. Red is it's happening for 90 days. The state has a problem. The providers in the state have this reimbursement problem, and it needs to be addressed with the payer and or the insurance commissioner, maybe the employer. So we're making it even easier for us to identify these aberrant, inappropriate, maybe even fraudulent reimbursement patterns. So on the reimbursement side, that's what we've been focusing on. Now we're also focused on the research side. So again, Brad, thanks to his generous donation, he's also got a relationship with Oklahoma State University, their data science school, which sits on the board of Oklahoma State University. They have been building a data lake. So a place where electronic health records and other companies that have data can send their de-identified patient data into this data lake that's unstructured data. And then researchers like Heidi Habib and Katie Pullman and H. Lottie can go in and they can actually run AI queries. They can use an AI query tool, and they can ask research questions to be able to run statistical analysis on this data to be able to publish studies so much faster. And I think what's really cool about this, Ray, is that not only will we be able to publish research a lot faster than doing a 3-year randomized controlled trial with uses finished or practices, but we can use this data to change policy. We can use this data to change reimbursement trends and even benefit design that you mentioned, you know, at the beginning of this podcast. So it's about being information enabled to create influence and change that impacts not just the profession, but the patients that we serve.
Yeah. You know, it is, I actually shared with you just yesterday or the day before an article. I subscribed to the AMA News just to see what's going on outside of chiropractic. And a report came out that 15% of all claims submitted in healthcare are automatically denied.
Yeah.
That's criminal.
It's criminal.
It really is criminal.
Yeah.
As I said in the email to you, you know, always follow the dollar. You know, you think, well, 15% of them are denied. What impact does that have? You look at the millions and millions of claims that are submitted daily, and if you can take 15% of those and just deny them right out of the gate, and oh, by the way, 90% of those that are denied up front end up being paid.
So it's
a delay tactic, and so the insurance companies are able to pool that money, if you will, and you're talking billions of dollars. Well, you don't pay claims for, if you don't pay billions of dollars for 15% of your claims, what is that money doing? It's earning money so they can pay the claims out of that, not out of their resources. So I mean, it is absolutely criminal in my mind. But here's the kicker. If we don't gather the data, if we don't own our data, others will own us.
That's exactly right.
And we're starting to see us own our own data. That's the importance of, I'm unapologetically going to say, I don't know who your clearinghouse is, but it needs to be Infinity. This guy has donated millions of dollars to our profession and just keeps on giving. And the least we can do is support him, because running our information through an entity like Infinity and that information ending up in the hands of the Chirotech Consortium will end up allowing executive directors to go get $1 million for your state because they've been screwing the chiropractors.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we've got to do this. We've got to pool our resources and more importantly, pool our data. You know, we expect a lot of ACA and ICA and our other organizations to work on our behalf, but they can't work and accomplish the work if they don't have our input, our data, and our support. I mean, it is. I got on a rant yesterday with someone. I get so pissed off that here the ACA and ICA and even state organizations only have, if you're a state, you're lucky if you got 50-60% of the members in your state. If it's ACA and ICA, they got about 25% of the profession that join either organization. Where's the other 75%? We've got to give people a reason to get involved. And, you know, that's one of the things that I love about the Chiropractic Futures effort, is it is not in competition with ACA and ICA. It is an attempt to come around those organizations and get the 75% that may, whatever reason, aren't joining. We need their resources, their input, and their data. So for those of you that are interested in getting involved in that, go to the website, check it out. We're still looking for volunteers. It is an all-volunteer, apolitical organization that is truly going, not might, it is changing the future of our profession.
Yeah, let me just add one thing really, really quick, because there's people out there that might be listening to it. Well, I use Availity, and it's free, and like, why should I have to pay for, you know, a clearinghouse? Well, the answer is your data is not free, because they're using that data against you to create reimbursement patterns that actually prevent you from getting paid. We must own our own data so we own our own future. How about Change Healthcare? You want to use them as your clearinghouse? Look at where that's standing up. They're owned by United Healthcare. They got hacked. Now all these claims are being held up. I'm getting paid. I use Infinity. My claims are going through. And so, like, you've got to contribute to the profession in order for the profession to support you. So forget this free clearinghouse nonsense. Pay the $60 a month, then go through Infinity. My rant is done.
Yep. All right, so let's move on. We've got a few more minutes here. So with your experience, I mean, you're an international speaker and consultant. You're involved in emerging technologies. What do you see in the next 5 to 10 years as major changes that will happen in our profession?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing the ability to be information able. I think we're going to be able to level the playing field through the use of data and the research that's created from that data. I think what we must do, I don't know if it will happen, but we need to create more political influence. You know, you mentioned these payers, Ray, and how they're getting away with these crimes. Like, where are our government leaders? I thought we were governed, you know, by the people and for the people. Like, where are our government officials protecting us as providers and our patients to ensure that these crimes can't be done? I personally think that a CEO of an insurance company that's done these things should go to jail. Like, providers go to jail. They can get healthcare fraud. Why won't the CEO of these companies go to jail? You know, it's just unjust. And so, like, I hope that in the next 5 to 10 years, we're creating a certain amount of political equity. Like, that's my hope. I mean, definitely see us being more information-enabled. The research is going to be growing exponentially about what we do. You guys, I mean, Ray, I know you know this, but, you know, we just came out with the cost-effectiveness paper from Clinical Compass. If you don't know what that is, go to chiropractic and animal therapies and find that paper. It compares chiropractic costs to medical costs. Once again, we win. We're better at that. If we save dollars, we get better outcomes. We achieve triple aim. And the third thing I think that we're going to see in the next 5 and 10 years is public acceptance. I've already felt it. It's a feeling. I don't have strong data around it. I would love for Palmer to run another Gallup study just to see what the data looks like compared to several years ago. But like, when I tell people on the fire point in Norway, which I bring to practice, oh, by the way, my shoulder hurts. Or, I was at the dentist yesterday. I got my teeth cleaned. They have hygienists with all of her tools in their mouth. It's like, I love my chiropractor. And that made my day, right? And so I really believe, like, you talk about this all the time. It's the tipping point, right? And I'm talking about it to all the leadership in chiropractic all the time. We're constantly reinforcing that message. And I think we're going to be there in the next 10 years for sure, 5 years maybe. I don't think that's far off. And the reason that all this is happening is because we're leveraging technology and we're creating value through chiropractic. And when you have good things happen.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, again, I'll just have to reiterate the importance of having that data, because you are not going to change policy. You are not going to change medical policy. You're not going to change political policy by going there and saying, here's what I think.
Right. Well, my patient Joe said this.
Yeah. It is. I've been in those rooms with the legislators and just seen amazing things happen. And it's always this challenge of, well, here's what we think is going on versus here's the data. And, you know, numbers don't lie. People do, but the numbers don't lie. And if we don't, once again, if we don't have that data, we can't change anything. We just simply cannot.
That's right.
All right, so we're rounding the bend here. So I've got some just for fun stuff.
All right.
Who's your hero and why?
It's my dad. You know, he set such a good example for me. I'm trying not to get choked up here, but he's a kind human, honest, ethical human. I remember my parents went out of town. I stayed at one of their friends' house, and, you know, their close family friend, and the father had come home from work. He's like, you know, I just want you to know, I was in a meeting today, and, you know, your father's name came up, and every time your father's name comes up, it's nothing other than you know, Lee Greenstein is like the most honest and ethical human. Like, we always want to do business with Lee because we trust him. And was such an important thing for me and a lesson that I learned. You know, just how kind he is and how honest he is and what he do in you. So, you've been here.
That's great.
My sister is a close friend of mine, because she's also a super senior, well, and I love her.
I haven't read anywhere that we can't have more than one hero. Okay, so it's all right.
And Ray, you're number three, so you're right up there.
Well, you know, it used to be, Avis used to say, when you're number two, you try harder. I don't know what the hell you do when you're number three. Just good luck, buddy.
You're already trying hard enough.
So what talent do you have that most people don't know about, or you don't want them to know about?
So I'm actually a really good dancer. My rhythm is on point, right? When I was a kid growing up, I used to watch Soul Train every single Saturday. And I just love music. And for whatever reason, my dad and my mom were both, you know, they love music and love dancing. And so Yeah, like I used to be like dance contests and crap like that. You'd bars and get on stage and win dance contests and that can dance.
In all the years I have known you, I've seen you on a table or two, but I've not seen you on the dance floor.
That's kind of my secret weapon.
That's funny. What's the worst job you ever had?
Oh, that's easy. I sold ladies' shoes when I was in high school, and that was the worst job.
Ladies' shoes?
Women's shoes.
So you're the original Al Bundy.
Oh, I guess so. it was awful. Like, just the bunions and the smell. It was like, oh, God. It was just awful. It was awful.
Oh, my gosh. I would have never thought that. My worst job is I actually worked in a catfish pond, raising catfish, literally down in the pond, seining the pond with tractors on each side, pulling the net, and you're throwing catfish out and occasionally a moccasin, you know, it just, people ask me why I went to chiropractic college. I didn't want to work in the damn catfish pond anymore.
Yeah, I am selling these shoes. There you go.
What do you think you would be doing if you weren't in chiropractic today?
Probably some kind of intersection between sports and finance. I love sports and
big Buckeye fan, as I recall.
Big Ohio State Buckeye fan and Maryland basketball fan. You know, I feel like I could have probably done a really good job as a financial advisor for athletes. Just because I feel like I can relate to people well, and I know that I always want to do justice by them. And sometimes, you know, these athletes, they get under the wrong hands and it turns out to be a disaster.
It's sad to see some of the older NFL players that, you know, bust their chops all those years, make a lot of money, but don't have the right people around them. And, they're destitute. It's sad.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, thanks for spending some time with us and being on the podcast. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Chirosphere. Please subscribe and share the podcast with your friends and let us know who you'd like to hear from in the future and any topics that we might cover that might be of interest to you.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah.
Before you start off, can I just say one more thing?
I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry. Keep going.
If you're interested in learning more about ChiroHealth USA and how we can help you develop a profitable discount strategy that will help grow your practice, increase your income, and most importantly, your profitability, call us at 888-719-9990 or visit our website, chusa.com, to find out why ChiroHealth USA is the network that works for chiropractic and for you. So what you got, Jay, to wrap up?
See, I got two things. First thing I'm going to say is, if you are not a ChiroHealth user, become one. Ray, I don't know if you know this data, but I shared it with Christy. We ran the numbers last year on the revenue that we created through ChiroHealth USA, and we're an insurance-based practice, so we see insurance and we have cash for patients that go from insurance to cash. We'd love to do it in a compliant way. It took me a long time to become a ChiroHealth USA customer.
3 damn years, and I had to fly up there to train your team. You talk about a laggard, man. Come on.
I was the original laggard. I agree. I'm a huge raving fan. And for the audience out there, I want you to know, like, we looked at our data, we generated $250,000 in shoes to feed. So that's a learn. So, you know, it's a little brainer. Just do it the right way, be compliant, and join the Choose a family. The second thing that I just want to do is I just want to acknowledge you, Ray. You would never say any of this, but like, you have donated like millions of dollars back to the profession. You've donated your time, just countless hours, your heart, your soul. You are my inspiration. You are one of my mentors, and I have so much love and respect for you. And I just want the audience to realize how important of a person you are in the profession, but also just such an important person just to have this amazing human being on this planet. So I just want to acknowledge you. I love you dearly. And everybody, when you see Ray Foxworth, you go up and you thank him. Thank him.
Well,
that's all.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. But the reality is I could not do anything that I do if it weren't for the doctors and their staff that actually use ChiroHealth in their offices. You know, it is, I believe that the hole that you give through is the hole that you receive through. And I believe in giving back. Everything that is near and dear to me and good in my life has been because of chiropractic, starting with my mom and my dad both being chiropractors. And so it is a joy to run this company that's focused on improving the quality of lives of our doctors and our profession and their patients. And, you know, for those of you that are part of Cairo Health, thank you, because you are the reason that we are the network that works for chiropractic. So thanks for the kind words, Jay. And I look forward to seeing you in a dance contest soon, my friend. All right, buddy. Take care.
Peace.